Come at the hour, come at the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening to you, wherever you might be, and welcome to the Saturday night soiree. John B. Wells sitting in with you tonight, and on the program, a very interesting man, Anthony Gucciardi, will join us. He's an investigative journalist, a film producer, and a consultant. His works appeared on major alternative and mainstream media outlets, all the way from Bloomberg and Reuters to the Drudge Report. He is the creator of the third largest natural health website, NaturalSociety.com, and the political exposure website, StoryLeak.com. Anthony is also the creator of a new film called Disarmed, A History of Gun Control, which analyzes the statistics behind gun control. And tonight we'll talk about the hidden future of GMOs. Monsanto's just the beginning, it would seem. In fact, I was looking around and I saw an article, the U.S. Army super soldier genetically modified humans won't need food or sleep. It makes me wonder if they're really not doing us a favor. They're going to improve us. And while we will not go willingly into that unknown territory, well, they'll just drag us into it. Eat it up. Eat those GMOs. They're good for you. I was looking around the web, and there's a lot of stuff out there. It's enough to make your brain explode, seriously. And it occurred to me as I went very far into it that we really need to be very, very, very careful. And you can't be too careful, otherwise you won't say anything. But you have to be careful enough, and you have to be willing to go back and say, hey, okay, boo-boo, give me an example. Here we are at the Huffington Post. Alley where 911 landing gear found declared crime scene. Yes, a rusted piece of an airplane landing gear discovered wedged between a mosque and an apartment building and believed to be from one of the hijacked planes that destroyed the nearby World Trade Center on September 11, 01 has been confirmed as coming from the type of Boeing jet used in the attacks. Okay, what other reason would it be? For what other reason would it be there? Somebody was going to make a table and they changed their minds. No. Police said Saturday that detectives had been in contact with officials at Chicago-based Boeing who confirmed the wreckage from a Boeing 767. Now, what's interesting about this is that there's another report about this over at, yes, InfoWars. And what's been written here, actually this is from the UK Daily Mail, it's just posted on InfoWars, says police have found a sizable piece in one of the engines from a plane that crashed in the World Trade Center more than 11 years after the September 11 attacks. Get that? A sizable piece of one of the engines. And then the next little paragraph says, the piece of landing gear was found wedged between two buildings, just blocks from Ground Zero in between the buildings at 51 Park Place and 50 Murrah Street in downtown Manhattan. So it's like, well, wait a minute. If you just see this one piece and it goes vroom over your head, you go, well, was it a piece of an engine or was it a piece of a landing gear? You go, well, what's the big deal? It's like, well, remember that picture of that engine lying out in the middle of the street? And several investigators said, that engine does not go to those planes. Okay, well, I wasn't there. I didn't look at the engine myself, so I can't tell you. I'd probably take somebody with me from Boeing. I know somebody, a couple people from Boeing. And they go, yep, that's definitely from a 767 or a 757 or a 7 whatever. But this stuff is just out there all over the place, and I'm wondering why. Here we are, over 11 years, and we're just now finding this landing gear. And then going back to the other article, retired fire department deputy chief Jim Riches, he lost his son in the terrorist attacks, visited the site on Saturday, and he said the latest news left him feeling upset. And he said the finding of this landing gear just goes to show that we need federal people in here to do a comprehensive full search of lower Manhattan to make sure we don't get any more surprises, as happened in 2007 when body parts were discovered in nearby sewers and manhole covers. were anatomical components found in manholes or in manhole covers. You see what I'm getting at? It's a real fine line, but once you just start tossing this stuff out there and you're giving people a little piece of this and a little piece of that, before long, it seems to me it just goes over everybody's head and they're ready to move on. And so I shall. Going over to my favorite little sites, Red Ice Creations. DNA tests prove 6-inch creature is humanoid. This is by Lee Spiegel. Huffington Post. Again. His editor's note says, the media has gone to great lengths to downplay the importance of this discovery. They're calling it human to diminish the discovery, pointing out that it's not identifiably alien. In fact, this finding is amazing. The professor of microbiology and immunology, Gary Nolan, who did the research by extracting bone marrow and running DNA tests, stated the life form was closer to human than chimps are. But being close to humans genetically doesn't make one human. Just ask the chimps. But some speculate that this hominid is a perfect storm of genetic malfunctions and mutations. But that's only a speculation at this point. Technically, it has not been proven that this isn't a different type of hominidae. Wait a minute. Hominidae. Sorry. More research must be done before the gloves can be taken off. But anyway, this is a creepy little skeleton. A creepy skeleton with elongated head. Sirius. S-I-R-I-U-S. I like what you may be listening to this broadcast over. The mummified remains of what looks like a 6-inch space alien has turned Sirius into the most eagerly awaited documentary among UFO enthusiasts. The findings, however, might come as a disappointment. So the jury's still out. We were talking with Gerald Celente last night about immigration and many other things, and it seems that Mexico has detained 108. Excellent. In an immigration sweep, mostly from Central America. They're trying to get out of there because there's a lot of drug violence and terrible poverty-stricken conditions. 108 undocumented immigrants. Sorry, I'm a bit mushmouth tonight. Along highways, bus stations, on a cargo train route, the same route that thousands of Central Americans use every year to cross Mexico and enter the United States illegally. This is the thing that's, this is just kind of strange. President will travel to Mexico and Central America later, and his talks with leaders will likely include prospects for a sweeping reform of U.S. immigration laws and efforts to reduce the tide of undocumented immigrants. So we're going to reduce the tide of undocumented immigrants and triple the number of documented immigrants. I'm sorry, but this makes no sense to me. And the Chinese are just as bucky as can be. They're 20 kilometers across the disputed border of India. New Delhi on Friday said Chinese soldiers have advanced nearly 12 miles into Indian-claimed territory after intruding across the disputed border earlier this month. That's from yesterday. Had a couple of people check out last week, as you may know. You know, George Jones, country singer, legend, icon, George Jones. What a tremendous performance he would put on if he decided to show up. Died at the age of 81. That was yesterday. And then on Monday, I guess, the 22nd, at 72 years of age, Richie Havens. First got a good look at Richie Havens in the old Woodstock movie. He passed away as well. So I'll tell you what, we're losing some treasures. Yes, indeed, we are. Well, as we go through the night, we're going to take a few calls from you this hour to see what's on your mind, take your temperature as it would be. And then we'll talk with Anthony Gucciardi. And while we do that, you might want to look at the sites, naturalsociety.com and storyleak.com is his other one. And also, as I have admonished you and advised many times, always go to the Coast to Coast AM website. It appears in the news that a $20 billion project makes nuclear fusion breakthrough. Earth's core is far hotter than thoughts. That's from the BBC. And scientists have built a baseball-playing robot with a 100,000 neuron fake brain. That's from Wired. And then there's a story about a woman who eats 2,500 calories a night while sleeping. Talk about not being able to close your chicken fried steak hole. I mean, unbelievable, isn't it? All right, let's take a quick little break here. And if you know the numbers, you can start ringing them, and we'll give them out later on. This is the Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. We shall return in a moment. I'm not sleepy. Are you sleepy? Okay, good. Let's talk to John. He's in Idaho, west of the Rockies. Come on the bridge, and what's on your mind? What's going on, John?
Hey, good evening, sir. It's a pleasure and honor to speak to you. I was telling the screener that lovely Pocatello. I've been here a year from California. I still can't spell the darn city. I just wanted to make two quick comments. I wanted to, first of all, give you heads up or kudos. I really enjoyed your show. I think maybe a few, it was like 6 months ago when you had those three different musicians on that one night.
Oh, yeah, four of them.
Yeah, four. That was excellent. I fell asleep. But the reason I called you, I just want to let you know, it's a sad thing about Richie Havens, and I just wanted to pass on to you. It really is a small world. I used to work at SFO Airport in San Francisco, and one night I came, I got off work, and I happened to walk down, this is in Redwood City, California, I happened to walk down the street, just got out of the bar for a couple of drinks, and I'm walking down the street, and I see this gentleman walk out of this Fox Theater, and sure enough, it was Richie Havens. And I couldn't remember, I missed the show because I had to work, but he was there with a couple other guys, and he was holding this really big white feather, and I was in my work clothes from the airport, and I shook his hand and said, "Mr. Havens, it's a pleasure to meet you." But, it's kind of sad, sir, that, there is a lot of musicians that are passing away, and, I don't know, I don't want to take up too much time here, but it just, I don't know, this is my own personal view. I think America, as we know it, it's seeping away into something that I don't know how to explain it, but.
Well, it's a pretty good run for 30, 40 years, and eventually it's just going to pass away. I was driving around just looking at the old city pass away, making way for the new city, and the last vestiges of what was around when I was a kid, it was new in the teens and the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. All that stuff that's old stuff. Now it's coming down and making way for particle board and plastic home wrap as they throw up all this new stuff. I mean, it's just being erased, and that's how it is.
I guess I just gotta accept it. But, it's hard for me to accept technology sometimes, but we're in the midst of it. So I guess, we just have to bear with it. And anyway, sir, it's a pleasure talking to you. I'll get off the phone. I know there's other people calling, but I really enjoy listening to you when you come on, when you fill in. So it's just keep up the good work. And
okay.
Take care, sir.
All right. You too. Thanks a lot. Right. Appreciate you. Yeah, that's interesting. It was so funny, Leslie West, that I'll never forget when he was talking about Ozzy, he said, you just need to listen to the first thing that he says and the last thing he says, because everything in the middle is just filler. And then he said, what show is this? Is this that UFO black helicopter thing? It's like, yeah, that's the one. That's so funny. Leslie West of Mountain. Amazing guitar player. Bless his heart, he's down to one leg. Oh, well. East of the Rockies, Fred in Mobile, Alabama. How are you?
Glad to speak with you. It's the first time I've spoken to you, Mr. Wills.
Good talking to you, too. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to make a comment about this little creature that they've been talking about lately. It kept ringing a bell in my mind, and I remembered from my art history days, there was a famous relief of Akhenaten, the first monotheistic believer who was a pharaoh in ancient Egypt. And he shows him with an elongated head, but not only that, surrounding her are these small figures with also elongated heads, just as you described it, as these creature have. And I thought that was really interesting, a document from ancient Egypt pointing out a creature of that size. And not only that, if I remember correctly, the sun, its rays are coming down and ends with hands extending to help, it looks like.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really an interesting comment. I'm sure the experts would know much more about this than I would. It just rung a bell with me that everything you were described these figures in this relief from ancient Egypt.
Well, in the same way that it seems like people overseas know more about our business than we do through our through the Ministry of Propaganda that is the mainstream media. And in the same way, apparently, people outside of this country have a lot deeper knowledge of some of the things like Egyptology and so forth than we're exposed to over here. However, there seems to be a concordance among experts, or certainly those who are just steeped in research and Egyptology, that their heads were actually shaped that way. Those weren't hats. Their heads were actually shaped this way. And this little guy here, I'm looking at him right now. He looks like one of those hats would fit him just fine. It's
this relief shows small creatures of that size surrounding him. That's what I thought was an amazing fact. It's been many years since I remembered this, but it kept ringing a bell with me, and I just wanted to share that with everyone. I'm sure, like I say, there are experts who have this at hand, and they can look at it and see what I'm talking about. And I've enjoyed talking with you.
Good talking to you, too. Thanks for calling. Let's get another caller in before we take our little break. How about Kathleen in Roseville, Michigan, on wildcard line number 2? How are you tonight?
Hi, John B. Wells. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Mutual, I'm sure.
My name is Catherine, rather than Kathleen. It's Catherine.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm half blind. I got to keep these glasses on. I'm going to have to get a little chain and put them around my neck. It says right here, Catherine. I'm sorry.
I understand that, believe me. Anyways, I have a question about the immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, because I'm trying to find out, back it was either John Kennedy or possibly Johnson, I'm not sure which. I remember that the NAACP was giving them some grief about the fact that certain countries were not being allowed into the country.
Yeah.
And they felt it was because they were black countries,
yeah,
or people of color.
Right.
And there was the law was changed, and they put all kinds of limits on the countries that were considered white countries.
Yeah.
And I wondered, now that they have this open border thing where they're letting anyone and everyone in, if they have taken off these controls from the white countries, or is it always okay, in my estimation, to discriminate against the white people today?
Well, you know, that's a touchy subject. You know, there's no telling what kind of a can of worms we'll open up by discussing that. But you know what? I'm not particularly squeamish about it. I know that there are a lot of people that have come to the U.S., legally immigrated here from Somalia, Nigeria, Ghana, all over the place. And certainly you don't see as many of them as you do from people coming up from south the border, because clearly, you know, that the Somalians are about 10,000 miles away. So that makes perfect sense. However, you bring up an interesting point, and that's a friend of mine was here for 8 years, almost 9, and engineer, Gold Seal instructor, pilot instructor, private pilot instructor, commercial instructor, instrument instructor, and certified flight instructor, 3 sons, all exemplary in their performance at school, his wife, a holistic healer, homeopathic medicine, kind of a guru lady, and no green card for him, no green card for them. They packed up and went back to Europe. That's just how it went. And it's that kind of thing. I mean, my estimation, that the whole family had something to offer, and not just labor. Now, when you start going, well, these are nice people, and they are nice people. They're nice people. There's a sweetness about them. They deserve the best life that they can have. In the end, whatever life that we get is largely up to us. Now, I can understand people trying to flee drug cartel violence and poverty. I understand that. But it's the old joke about your minorities are invading our majorities until you've made our majorities minorities. Switzerland, for example, everybody goes, oh, Switzerland is a society that just runs perfectly. Well, you have to bring something to the country. You have to bring something to Switzerland before you can buy a certain kind of property. I think you can buy a chalet But as far as getting a nice piece of property and a regular house, you have to bring something to the country. And what comes to mind is a man who bought a patent from NASA for a blood separator that did not require a centrifuge. And they said, what are you going to do with this? He said, set up a lab. And they said, welcome. I'm thinking we could use more of that, and that way we'd have businesses that could hire employees that we really don't need now because we don't make as much as we did. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for being with us tonight, doing the run-up to our chat with Anthony Gucciardi, and we'll take some more of your telephone calls. I got an interesting email just a minute ago. Every once in a while, we'll do a debrief on the previous Saturday show. But the one on the 20th, the one we call the Dope Show, this person respectfully disagrees with the recent Dope Show. He finds an issue that is not being addressed is the use of marijuana and its secondhand effects on those living in close proximity to its users. How would your proposed legislation or legalization, I didn't really propose legalization, we were just discussing it, prevent infants, small children, and pregnant women from being exposed to this smoke if they were living in an apartment building alongside weed users? Recently moved from my last apartment because my two children, 5 and 3 years of age at the time, along with the family cat, were all stoned after party happy neighbors decided to light up. Yes, the children and even the cat could not walk straight, and I was told by my oldest daughter she felt sick. Being a former smoker myself, I easily recognized that I was moderately buzzed after consuming no alcohol, no drugs of any kind, including prescription, and no strange foods. Feel I should mention, we are a vaccine-free, GMO-free, additive-free, fluoride-free, all-organic family. There were no other questionable elements in the mix. Okay, I get you. Here's the thing. A really, really super hardcore alcoholic living on the street, all the way to total dereliction, can drink Sterno. You know the campfire fuel? Can drink Sterno and survive it. A healthy person would need to go to the emergency room at once. It seems down here on planet Earth that the healthier you get, I'm just saying, it's just an observation, I'm not claiming it as a fact. It just seems that the healthier you make yourself, the more susceptible you become to really effects that clobber you if you're exposed to what we call bad habits, smoking, drinking, whatever. In other words, if you drink every night, well, then a shot of tequila is not going to do anything to you. If you don't drink at all, one shot of tequila will probably put a little buzz on you. I find it interesting that, and I think a lot of it is in the mind also, just kind of taking a little side road here. Because people will religiously jog through the smog-choked morning air right there next to the traffic because they're getting their running in. But if they're 20 feet away, they're waving their hand in front of their face like somebody over there smoking a cigarette. It's just really bothering. Oh, that's just awful. Look at that horrible cigarette being smoked. Even when the wind's blowing away, these people are upwind. But they see the cigarette and they go, oh, it's just disgusting. So if you're GMO-free and additive-free, fluoride-free, totally vaccine-free and all organic, then two things come to mind. One is that must have been some incredibly bodacious ganja that was being smoked by your neighbors for you to get a secondhand buzz like that to where even the cat can't walk straight. I'm thinking that might have been something a little bit stronger than the Mentos, the good herb. But for anybody who was confused as to why would you do this dope show with all this stuff that's going on in the world, you decide to do a dope show. It's like, yeah. Have you checked out what's going on down there on the border? Boom, boom. Night and day. Little towns down there deciding to become vigilantes. Will they just arm themselves up with the firearms they're permitted to have? Of course, in Mexico, you can't have anything that chambers a military cartridge. No 9mm, no 45, no 12-gauge, no 308, no 5.56. They've decided they're just going to protect their little town themselves. Now, what happens is a story pops up and you hear this, you read this, and then it goes away. There's always more news the next day that supplants the news that was getting your attention the day before. It's just how it is. So I am sure there are secondhand effects to marijuana smoke being inhaled, even though you're not the one holding the spliff, blunt, doobie, or whatever you might call it. The whole point of that show, or at least certainly a huge component of it, was that it is such a money-making industry that if it were to be legalized in this country, as they're not really sure if it's a gateway drug or not, they're thinking that maybe just the exposure to the drug world, if you will, just one thing leads to another, not necessarily that smoking marijuana compels you to automatically take off in search of something stronger and potentially more dangerous. The idea was, if you want something to stop, one of the very best ways to do it is quit buying it. And change will occur. If it's a product, go, wow, this stuff is really bad. Well, quit buying it. You know, like fast food. It tastes good while it's hot. Let it cool off and take a bite and tell me what you think of it then. You wouldn't feed that to a pet you didn't like particularly. Just said, here, eat this. It's good enough for him. He's terrible and he chews stuff. So the thing was, if you make marijuana legal in this country, because you know, we've been told, well, the reason there's all this violence and all this, because there's such a huge demand for marijuana in the U.S. If you people weren't just so weed happy, well, then there wouldn't be a demand and this violence wouldn't be visited upon us. Well, okay. You make an argument for almost anything. Lawyers do it every day. Two good lawyers go into a courtroom. One of them walks out. Maybe they got a... You go in thinking you got a slam dunk and you lose. You go in thinking you have a weak case and you win spectacularly. It's just how it is. But if we stopped buying it, would that reduce the violence? And would the lack of revenue incline cartel hotshots, higher ups, to take out revenge on politicians who supported legalization legislation, you see? It's just a discussion. It's not a statement. I mean, this whole thing is an experiment. Trying to predict mass human behavior is, well, in some ways, it's easier than predicting individual human behavior, isn't it? All right, let's take a little short wafting break here and then come back with a few more of your calls as we ratchet up toward our conversation with Anthony Gucciardi on Coast to Coast AM. See, the problem was that the mothership just wafted over Jamaica and we had the vents open. And a bunch of ganja smoke got into the command control room, and not only did it was so powerful, it knocked the engineer out, as well as dropped the link between the mothership and command. All right, Sharon on wildcard line number one in Missouri. Missouri. Only people outside Missouri call it Missouri.
Yes. How are you, John?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. John, I am detecting in minute movements there is a shift happening in this country. And I can't really pinpoint it exactly, except I can feel it. And I think that people are starting to wake up and realize what is happening in this country. Case in point, here in Missouri, we recently had 163,000 concealed weapon permit holders' names released to the Social Security Administration by the Department of Revenue here in Missouri, which is against the law. Supposedly, they were just trying to sort out at Social Security Social Security fraud and Medicare fraud and that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, this caused an uproar like you would not believe. And now I believe that it's halfway through the legislature and it's going to be passed, that it will be a Class C felony for any law enforcement official who tries to confiscate, according to federal law, any law-abiding citizen's gun.
Really?
And they, yes, and they are, and they are saying, if the gun is made in Missouri and it stays in Missouri, then you cannot take it away from the citizens, and basically we will not obey federal gun laws.
That's strong. Now, I heard that at first, and then I heard about this proposed legislation where they were, I mean, not proposed legislation, but the list of the permit holders, and I thought, now which way are they going with this? And then I didn't see anything else on the various wires and fibers.
Oh, it has caused an uproar like you wouldn't believe. And they are taking away the power from the Department of Revenue to more or less, what they do is you go, you take your training, you go to get your permit at the sheriff's, and then you go to the Department of Revenue, and they would basically stamp it, okay? And it's on your driver's license. All right.
Yeah, what's your crime up there like?
What's our crime like?
Yeah,
well, we have crime.
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere, but I mean, is it a huge problem like it is in some states?
Well, I'll tell you what, it sure isn't like Chicago. And they are also taking away the power to give concealed weapon permits from the Department of Revenue. They will no longer have anything to do with it, and it will be in the hands of the local sheriff.
Well, that's excellent. So, that's how it should be. That's what the sheriff's function is supposed to be, is to look after his community, his precinct, his little district.
That's right. And so when I say that I am detecting, and it's more of a feeling than anything, but John, there is a shift in this country. People are waking up. I have heard an awful lot of people who were absolutely appalled and outraged that in Boston, that they were going from house to house without warrants and banging on people's doors like something you would see in a dang movie, and telling people to come out with their hands up and then threatening them if they didn't. I'll tell you what, they won't be doing that in Missouri.
I have a feeling you're absolutely spot on with that one.
That's right.
These Missourians are pretty steady. Well, here's the thing. Who knows? You know, who really knows the truth? It's just that the images that we see were pretty rough. In fact, the person who was taking the video of this this house being approached, searched, whatever it might have been, vetted. There's a guy sitting on top of an armored vehicle pointing his rifle at the person who was shooting the video. Unbelievable. Anyway, thanks for the call very much. I appreciate you. I got to go. Let's talk to Joy in Scotts Valley, California. Joy, bring some joy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just thought that you might want to talk a little bit about that unusual critter that they have the photograph of.
Yeah, did you see the documentary yet?
No, I haven't, but I did look at the picture, and it occurred to me that this might be where our mythology of elves or fairies come from. That this might be a little race of creatures that might take care of their own when they die.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Wouldn't it? I mean, if you look at the face, look at the skull of that thing, it almost has like an elven kind of construction when you see a lot of...
A little bit, I guess. Although if something like that popped up next to me, I might say... Whoa.
Well, if it was covered with skin, you know, and wore a little life, because it looks very dexterous and it looks like...
Sprightly.
And maybe it even had wings. We don't know. I mean, it's an idea, you know. But
that's a pretty good idea. Maybe it's related to the old furies or harpies of old that did have the little bat wings. Probably had a face a little bit like this old fellow.
I mean, we don't. It doesn't necessarily have to be an off-worlder. I mean, the fact that we have all these legends of these little tiny people in almost all culture. This might actually be, you know, some relic of one of those.
Yeah, there's always been a little. There must be something to it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be. So
well, it's kind of ubiquitous in culture. I mean, we have.
Really?
It's in Irish culture. It's in English culture. It's in Indian culture and Native American.
It's in literature.
Well.
Yeah, literature and lore all the time. Well,
of these little tiny people.
Yeah.
And well, why not? I mean, it's obviously something.
They have power. I mean, look what they did to Gulliver. They just strapped him down.
A little putt, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but on the other hand, I mean, I think they have something valid there. I just don't know what it is, but it might be that it can be the explanation for all these legends.
Well, you could have something there. That's a very interesting call, and thank you very much. She did spread some joy. That was excellent. All right, let's do a real quick one with Kent, South Wibby Isle, Washington. Wildcard line 4. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing really good tonight. You know, John, I hate to take the quick call. First of all, long-time Trar fan. This class of 77, seen it live, love it. You rock, seriously. and, you know,
right.
I'm a radio junkie. I'm
yes.
NPR all day. For years, I've got radio shows archived. But these 4 hours on Saturday night, I look forward to. And
oh, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing. You know, and I'd also like to say that, you know, it's a little weird when you're on the line. I don't get it like it's on the radio. I talk, I hear nothing, so it's kind of a weird conversation.
Gotcha.
That's just technology. So I'm seeing in Boston, right, and then Shrub Bush Jr. opens his Pres Library, you know, down in Dallas, and there's not a bit of a rack, and it's all 9/11. And then we got landing gear. But, you know, and so put that in the back, and went to the dope show. I wrote that down, you know, awesome. That was perfect. I'm in Washington State, born and raised. Couldn't be better. So let it go. Have at it.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that landing gear, it seems, was found. The reports say, I'm not stating it. I wasn't there. I didn't find the bloody thing. But the landing gear was found right by the controversial mosque. That everybody was in uproar over being built down there so close to where the tower stood.
Right. And so there's the hat trick of the three things, you know, now all of a sudden terrorism's in our face again. And North Korea, gone, is off the radar.
Yeah.
Right next, you know, are you getting it? You see where I'm going, right?
Oh, I totally get it. I think this is a theory. This is unproven. I just get that. You said that it's like, it's a theory. I think China told them to... shut up or we're going to smack you. I mean, that's what I really think happened. It's, who knows, maybe somebody up there in D.C. heard the broadcast when it was stated by your humble narrator and Saturday night host here. This is bad for business. Now, you either chill out, your little proxy boy down there, or we're going to smack him. And nobody wants that. You're going to have all these people running north into your territory, horrified and terrified. And you're going to deal with those refugees. It's going to be bad for business. So get a hold of Kim Jong Moron and tell him to calm down. Maybe that's what happened. All right, back with Anthony Gucciardi in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.